right. How many of you, I wonder, how many of you have ever been in a situation that looked impossible and it looked like there was no way out of it? I think we've all been there. And that's the situation that David was in this psalm, Psalm 18, if you'll turn over there. David is in a situation that looked impossible. And David had experienced a great deliverance from the Lord. And in Psalm 18, that's kind of the background. David had been in a possible situation. God had brought great deliverance into David's life. If you look down at Psalm 18, verse 6, you'll kind of get the idea of this psalm. It's 50 verses. It's a long psalm. And in Psalm 18, verse 6, let's go down to verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. And then it goes on and describes what God did in answer to David's prayer. And if you go down to verse 16, it says, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. What's the next three words? He delivered me. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. And then what's the next three words? He delivered me because he delighted in me. Now, real quickly, I want you to stay with me 2 minutes, and I'm going to kind of go in a direction here where I'm going to give you some background, and then you can study that on your own, because that's really not the direction I'm going to go in the message, but I do think it's important that I bring it out. This is a song of victory after David's deliverance. He's just praising the Lord. This is a song that he is singing unto the Lord after God had brought a great deliverance into his life. Now, it's clear that as you read this lengthy psalm of 50 verses, David is actually a picture of his seed, the nation of Israel, in the last days. And how the seed of Israel is going to gain a great deliverance from the heathen nations by the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look down at verse 50, the very last verse in the psalm, it kind of gives you an idea. It says, great deliverance giveth he to his King, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed, how long? Forevermore. So this psalm, it lets you know in the last verse, is what we call a prophetic psalm. This is a great psalm for you to see the last days that are going to come on the earth. The day of the Lord that we've been studying on Wednesday night. Christ's second coming to the earth. And all the prophetic implications here in this psalm. Now, that's really not the direction I want to go. What I want to bring out is something very practical from this psalm. As David goes through this incredible trial in his life, he found out something about the Lord. He found out as he went through this trial that the Lord was the all-sufficient one. I want you to look with me at verse number 1. Let's begin the psalm. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. And then he says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. He is just praising the Lord. Now, when he talks about, I'll love thee, O Lord, when he says, the Lord is, verse 2, the Lord is, and he begins to describe the Lord. Verse 3, I'm going to call on the Lord. Now, it's interesting that the Bible, if you turn and you begin to see in the New Testament, who is declared to be the Lord? Can anybody tell me who is declared to be the Lord of Lords? Jesus Christ. That's right. The Bible declares our Savior, Jesus Christ, to be Lord of Lords. Do you remember when Thomas came and worshiped Christ, when he appeared to Thomas? He appeared to the, to the others, and then Thomas wasn't there. And when he appeared to Thomas, what did Thomas do? He bowed down and to Jesus. He worshiped him, and he said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus Christ was God manifest. He was Jehovah God manifest in the flesh. You remember Jesus said in John 8:58, "Before Abraham was, I am." In other words, Jesus was Jehovah God manifest in a fleshly body. Now, so he's the Lord. So David here is talking about, "Oh Lord, you are Lord this and you are Lord that." Well, we know that the Lord of Lords has been revealed. We know that he's come. He's been manifest. And we know that the Lord is Jesus Christ. Now, if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you have put your faith and your trust in him to be your Savior, I want you to look what the Bible says about him at the top of your handout. Colossians 2:9. "For in him," in Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead," what? Bodily. Okay? So Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords. He is Jehovah God manifest bodily. But then he turns around and look what he tells the believer in the rest of that passage. Verse 10. After he just gets done telling you that in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, then he turns around and tells the believer, "And you are," and what's the next three words? Say it with me. "Complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." In your handout, it says this: "Through your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you were placed in him, and you were given Christ's very life." Okay? When you got saved, you were given the very life of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. And all that you need to live victoriously is found in Christ, and you're in him. So now, wait a minute. If Jesus, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and I'm in him, then in your handout it says that means that I lack nothing. You lack nothing in your Christian life. You are complete in him. You got the complete package when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Aren't you glad that God didn't just give you a little bit? Aren't you glad that you're complete in Christ? He gave you the complete package. He gave you everything that you needed to be able to live a victorious Christian life on planet Earth. Now listen closely. My position of completeness in Christ does not automatically guarantee me victory. My position of completeness in him does not guarantee me that I will just live victoriously today, and that the words out of my mouth will be victorious, and that I will live victoriously. My position alone doesn't guarantee me the victory. I must know how to use what I have been given in Christ. Let me give you an illustration of this. I think that'll help you understand what I'm talking about. Let's say that somebody gave me a gift, and they gave me a boombox. They know that I listen to CDs, and I've got a lot of old cassettes and things. So they get me a multi-purpose boombox, and I'm going to plug it in here. And Brother Rob Hall is our IT guy here at the church. He's our youth director, but he's also our IT guy. He knows all about electronics and computers and all that kind of stuff. And so Brother Rob sees me here, and on the box of the that it came in, you know, it says that it's multi-function, and it says you can listen to CDs and even old cassettes. You can listen to AM, FM radio. And so Brother Rob sees me one day with my new boombox, and he sees me doing this. "Brother Rob, man, this is good stuff." He says, "What are you doing?" "I'm listening to the radio." And it is. It's going right now. I hear the guy talking. Can you all hear him? It's going. That's good stuff. Brother Rob's like, "Pastor Dan, what are you doing?" "I'm listening to my new boombox." And he's like, "Why you got your ear up next to it?" And I'm like, "Well, you know, this boombox is okay and everything, but boy, the volume's low on this thing. This volume is terrible. And he's like, well, Dan, you know you can do something about that. Really? Yeah. See that little knob right there? Watch.
I read the text in chapter 12.
Woo!
This morning. I will.
Wow, neat, Brother Rob. That's cool. I'll tell you one thing, though. This thing says it plays CDs, but it doesn't work. And he's like, what do you mean it doesn't work? And I'm like, watch this. Look, see, I got a CD right here. I put it in. I close it up. Can't hear a thing. And he's like, Pastor Dan, you see this up here? You just flip this up to CD. Oh, okay. And then all you do is you just go to whatever number you want, okay? And you just take this and go up to it, and then you just hit that little arrow right there and watch. Watch this. And I just can't believe it. Brother Rob, that's amazing. And then the same thing with the guy. Well, it doesn't play cassettes. And so he goes through and he shows me how to play cassettes. Now, what is that an illustration of? Well, here's the illustration. Okay, this boombox right here. Does this have everything that I need in it to listen to cassettes, CDs, and radio? Yes or no?
Yes.
It has everything that I need right here in it. So the problem was not with the boombox, right? The problem, everything that I needed was internally in the box. It was here. So what was the problem then? The problem was what? Thanks a lot. Yeah, it was the problem, you guys just kind of shortened it to you. But what I wanted was right there, the problem was that I lacked understanding in how to use the box. The problem wasn't with the box. It was complete. It had everything that I needed. The problem was with my understanding. I lacked understanding in how to use this boombox. Now, what's the illustration? The illustration is this, is that you have been given all that you need to live victoriously in your Christian walk. You've got all you need. You are complete in Him, just as that boombox is internally complete. You internally have received the life of Christ. You have all that you need in Him to live victoriously. The problem many times is that we lack understanding in how to use what we've been given in Christ. You say, Pastor Ed, how do I learn to use what I've been given in Christ? In your handout, it says that we learn how to use what we've been given in Christ through God's Word. You see, this book right here, this book, God's Word, is going to reveal to you what you've been given in Christ. It's going to tell you exactly, just like that manual to this, is going to tell me all that I have in that box. It's going to tell me all that it'll do. It's going to tell me all that I've got. Okay? And the manual is going to tell me how to use what I've got. In the same way, the Bible is going to tell you what you've been given in Christ. And then it's going to reveal to you how to use, how to appropriate the power that you have been given in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as you read Psalm 18, Jesus Christ is never mentioned by the name Jesus Christ. Yet as a believer in Christ, if you're saved today, you should see Christ all through Psalm 18 if you read it this week. You say, why? Because the Bible is a book about Jesus Christ. Now look at me, church. This book is all about Jesus Christ. This is a book that points to Jesus Christ. He is the focus. He is the central figure of the Bible. You know what Jesus told the two men on the road to Emmaus after His resurrection? The Bible says that Jesus took the Bible and beginning at Moses in the Old Testament and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. You see, the Bible, all scripture, is centered around and is focused on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have an advantage that David, who wrote this psalm, did not have. And that is, David many times would have to look at circumstances. And he'd look at the circumstances to see what the Lord did, and through that he would understand who the Lord was, and he would see God's mighty power. I don't have to look at circumstances to understand what I have in Christ. God's Word has lifted the veil. No longer do we see through a glass darkly, but we hold in our hands God's completed Word. And in your handout it says that the Bible gives us full understanding of who we are in Christ and what we possess in Christ. Now, what I'm going to do this week and next week is we're going to look at Psalm 18, and I want to look at verse 2 specifically, if you go over there with me, Psalm 18, 2, because in this verse, it's interesting that David gives a sevenfold description of the Lord based on the deliverance that he had received. And here's what's neat about it. All the things that he discovered that the Lord was, okay? As we read our Bible and study your Bible, as you study the book God's given you, this full and complete book that points to Christ, as you study your Bible, then you begin to understand and realize that all the things that David discovered about the Lord based on the deliverance that he received, we begin to learn that I already possess all those things in Christ. The first thing I want to bring out here is in Psalm 18, verse 2. What's the very first thing that he discovered about the Lord? He said, "The Lord is my what? Rock." What did the choir sing about? "He set my feet on a rock." I want you to write that in your handout. Christ is our rock. You see, we find out now as we study this full and complete book, which David didn't have when he wrote this, okay? We begin now to understand that Christ is our rock. Now, David used this term rock in reference to the Lord several times. If you'll do this, keep your bookmarker here, okay? Take this, put it right there, and go to Psalm 40. Go over a few psalms to Psalm 40, and I'll give you an example of a place here where David uses the term rock to describe the Lord. Look at Psalm 40 and verse number 2. Psalm 40, verse 2. It says here, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a" what? "Rock. And established my goings." Now the idea here is that God had lifted David up out of a mud hole. He'd lifted David out of a mud hole, out of quicksand. And he took him and he put his feet on some solid footing. And David's saying, now I've got a solid foundation. Now I don't have to sink and I don't have to be wishy-washy. I am on a rock now. Well, as we read God's Word, we learn that that's exactly what Christ has been made to us. I want you to look at the screen and go to, let's look at this, 1 Corinthians 10:4. The Apostle Paul says to the church that Israel in the Old Testament, they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. Then Paul identifies who that rock was, and that rock was who? It was Christ. Christ is our rock. Christ is the foundation that our entire life is built upon. Now, I want you to get this statement in your handout. It says, if your life is built upon anything other than your relationship to Jesus Christ, then you have a shaky foundation. If your life is built upon anything other than your relationship to Jesus Christ, then you have a shaky foundation. Listen, if you're trying to build your life around your job, or you're trying to build your life around the acquisition of stuff, if you're trying to build your life on trying to acquire money, if you're trying to build your life on a boyfriend or a girlfriend, if you're trying to build your life upon your marriage relationship, if you're trying to make the foundation of your life sports or a hobby or education or whatever it may be, I want you to know you got a shaky foundation, my friend, and you're always going to be doing this, and you're always going to be wobbling, and you're always going to be wishy-washy, And you're not going to be firm in your walk until you come to understand that Christ is the foundation of your life. Christ is the rock in your life. You build your life on your relationship to Jesus Christ. The Bible says this. I'm going to bring it. Actually, it's in your handout. 1 Corinthians 3:11. Paul said, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid." What is the foundation, Christian, of our life? Which is what? Jesus Christ. My friend, look at the screen and notice the words to the song that we sung earlier. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. In other words, whatever else out there in the world that may look sweet to me, and it may look like something I can build my life on, I'll dare not trust it, but I'll wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Whatever else you try to build your life on, other than a relationship to the Lord, you're on sinking sand, my friend. You are on sand that is going to shift. If you're trying to build your life on a relationship, wrong. If you're trying to build your life on your job or on money or on possessions, on entertainment, on feeling good, on sports, on a hobby, whatever it may be. But if you're trying to build your life on that, then I want you to know you're on, like the hymn writer said, you are on sinking sand. My friend, Jesus Christ has lifted us from the mud hole of sin. Jesus Christ has saved us, and He has, according to Colossians 2:7, we have been rooted in Him. In Him. I'm rooted in Him. In Acts chapter 4, Peter understood that Jesus Christ was the head of the corner. He said, "This is the stone," speaking of Christ. "He's the stone which was set of naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." In other words, He's the foundation of it all. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus Christ is the only foundation. He's the only sure stone. You may be here today and you feel like you're sinking. You feel like you're drowning in a sea of difficult circumstances. That's when you have to go to God's Word, Christian. You cannot run to a booze bottle. You cannot run to a drug. You cannot run to a person. Whenever you feel like you're sinking and you're drowning in a sea of just difficult things that come into our life, that's when you got to go to God's Word and you have to say, "No, sir, I am not sinking. Jesus is my Savior. He's my foundation. I'm on the rock of ages and He does not change." You got to go back to God's Word and say, "I've got a foundation I'm built on. I've got a rock I'm built on. I'm on the rock of ages. I'm on Jesus." And all other ground is just sinking sand. Back in Psalm 18, if you read through the psalm, really what it is it's a... He really is detailing in detail how he came to the conclusion of verse 2. That the Lord is his rock and his fortress and his deliverer. And so he starts out telling you what he's learned the Lord is. And then he's going to tell you how he learned it as you go through the psalm. And if you look down at verse 31, go up to verse 30. "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save?" That means except, okay? Old English word for except. "Who is God except," or save, "the Lord? Or who is a" what? "A rock except," save, "our God." You know what he's saying? He's saying, through this deliverance, I've learned there is no other rock. He's it. He's it. He's the only rock. He's the only one I can trust. And we don't have to go through a trial to figure that out like David did. We have the full revelation of God to explain to us who our foundation is. It's Jesus Christ. You are complete in Christ. You are complete in Christ. I am complete in Christ. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Then say that with me. I am complete in Christ. Who's your foundation? Who's your rock? All other ground is what? Sinking sand. You can't build your life on anything other than Him. He's the all-sufficient one. And then if you look at Psalm 18:2, he said, not only is the Lord my rock, he also learned something else. Psalm 18:2, he said, the Lord is my rock and he's my what? We sung that this morning. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress. Now, what does that mean? Well, in your handout, it says that in Bible days, a fortress was a place of defense or safety or security. If you were in a battle, you could retreat into your fortress. Now, we shorten up that word, and you'll get the idea of the word by the shortened word. What's the word within that word? Fort, right? Got a few pictures here of some castles and some forts that we found online, and I think it's just going to kind of go through these as I'm talking behind me. But the idea of a fortress is it's a place of defense. It's a place of safety. It's a place where you could go and be secure. See, it's a place, it's again, we get the word fort from it. In fact, I think the very last picture that's going to come up, yeah, is this one. Does anybody recognize that, what that is? Good, good, yeah. That's St. Augustine, and I don't even know the name of that up there. I've been in it 100 times. What? Everybody said it at once. Okay, that's right. Whatever y'all said was right. But yeah, that's the fort there, and a lot of that's still standing. That's an old one right there. Very, very one of the oldest forts, if not the oldest, in the United States. And what was that? That was a place where they could go. It was a fortress. It was a fort. It was a place where they could go and have security. And David said, you know what I found out about the Lord? I found out He's my fortress. He's my fort. He's my place of defense. He's my place of safety and security. Go over to Psalm 71. Keep your bookmarker here again, Psalm 18. And go over to Psalm 71. And look at verse 3. Psalm 71, verse 3. The psalmist writes, Psalm 71:3, be thou my strong habitation, he tells God. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock, there it is again, and my what? Fortress. Now, it's interesting, he calls God his strong habitation, the place that he could resort to or flee to. Now, let's fast forward. We have the complete revelation of God today. And Paul called believers, now get this and it'll bless your heart if you'll get this and understand this. Paul called believers today in this time of grace that we're living in today. He called us believers the building of God. He said, you Christians, believers, you are the building of God. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Then he also taught in Ephesians 2:22 that God himself inhabits this building. So we're the building of God, and God inhabits us. He inhabits the building. He said, in Christ, you are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now get this. David said that God was his strong habitation that he could continually resort to. Well, okay, today we have, that's under the Old Testament law system. And he understood that he could resort to God, that God would be there if he would resort and flee to him. Now, we have the full revelation and the complete work of Christ we look back on. And in your handout, I think it's in your handout there, if you'll turn it over, it says that today you don't have to flee to God as your fortress. This is going to bless your heart. Let me warn you, it's going to bless your blesser. Are you ready? Today, you don't have to flee to God as your fortress. Ready for this? He actually indwells you in the person of Christ and His Spirit. He actually indwells. He actually lives inside of you. If Christ lives in you and you've been joined to His very life, then you know what that means? If I've been joined to Him and I've been made one with Him, that means I have constant 24-hour-a-day security. Romans 8, 9, and 10 on the screen. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, he tells Christian, but you're in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God, where does he dwell? In you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, then he's none of his. In other words, you're not his child. And if Christ be, what's the next two words? In you. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You received His Spirit the moment you believed on Christ. And guess what? I got some really good news for you. The moment you believed on Jesus and you trusted Him and Him alone to save you and to be your Savior, that very moment that you put your trust in Christ, Christ's Spirit came to live inside of you, and guess what? He's not going anywhere. You have been sealed by His Spirit until the day of redemption. It's in your handout. Look at it with me. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are, what are you? You're what? You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God unto the day of redemption, till the day He comes back for you. So what does that mean? Here's what it means. It's in your handout. You have security in Christ. He is our fortress. Listen, when trouble comes, and I want you to get this principle. When trouble comes into your life, and it will, you don't have to, in your mind, flee to Him and try to get to Him. You, in your mind, don't have to try to get God's attention. Sometimes I've heard Christians say, but brother, it just feels like God's forgotten me. If I pray all night, maybe I'll be able to get His attention and He'll know where I'm at again. You know? If I just will crawl across broken glass and do enough good things, maybe I'll get His attention. God, remember, I'm over here. It just feels like God's forgotten me. And I want to submit to you this morning that whenever it feels like God's forgotten you, that's exactly what it is. It's a feeling. It's not rooted in fact. And your feelings will deceive you. Here's the facts. If you're saved today, God hadn't gone anywhere. He lives inside of you to walk with you through the problems and the trials of life. He's with you. He lives in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have the Spirit of Christ. You're sealed to the day of redemption. You're complete in Him. He's all sufficient. And here's the neat thing. In this time period of grace today, I don't have to flee to God, and I don't have to flee to the fortress. The fortress lives in me. I don't have to flee to the fortress. The fortress lives in me. I have 24-hour-a-day security in Christ. Now, folks, you want to know what that is? That's grace teaching right there. You're hearing teaching that's rooted in grace and in an understanding of who our apostle is and the full revelation that you've been given by God through the apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. And when you hear preachers talk about how, you know, you just need to get God's attention and you need to do this and this and this so that God will favor you and all, you can, no, just forget it. If you're listening to them on your boombox, turn them off. Because you can just, poof, forget that. Listen, you got to understand where you're at today. You're not King David living under the Old Testament law system, okay? You don't have to flee to God as your fortress. The Bible says we are the building of God and we are the habitation of God. God inhabits us. He lives in you. Folks, that ought to make you shout, even though you're a Baptist this morning. You ought to shout. Man, that ought to get you excited. Aren't you glad you don't have to get His attention? Aren't you glad you've got Him in Christ? He's with you. He loves you. He's ever present to help you. He's ever there to listen. He's ever there to hear your request. And it's because of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ, see, David looked at all circumstances and he said, Based on these circumstances, now I understand, Lord, you're my rock. Well, we don't have to do that. We can go to God's Word and know Christ is our foundation. Any other ground, sink in sand. Build your life on anything else, forget it. We know right here in the Bible. So I don't have to go out here and I don't have to go hop in some quicksand, so to speak, and just sink. And then after I sink, say, oh boy, you know what? I sure did learn. God's my rock. You know, now I got to come over here. No, I can know right here from God's Word that if I try to build my life on anything else other than Christ, it's sinking sand. He's my rock. I can know right from God's Word, He's my fortress. That Christ is my fortress and Christ lives in me. That means I have the fortress living inside of me. I have constant 24-hour-a-day security in Christ because the fortress lives in me. And then the last thing there is this, and I got to hurry, is he says that, and this is the last thing I'm going to deal with. Next week we're going to look at the rest of this verse. In Psalm 18:2, what does he say? The Lord's my rock and my fortress and my what? Write that in. He is my deliverer. Can you get that, please? He's my deliverer. David had experienced a great deliverance from the enemy. So he says, Lord, based on what I've seen, you know what? You're my deliverer. Now notice that David was delivered from the sorrows of death and hell. Look down at verse 4. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. So David said, it's as if I'm surrounded by the sorrows of death and the sorrows of hell. Well, listen, today the enemies of death and hell have been forever defeated and overcome. You say, how? Look in your handout. We've got some revelation here, see, that David didn't even have back then. See, but is now made manifest by the appearing. There's been an appearing, folks. The appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Well, what did he do when he appeared? Who hath abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We have something David didn't have. We've got the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lived a sinless life. He died the death that we deserve on that cross. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He abolished death. He brought life. The enemies of death and hell were too strong for us. So Christ defeated them for us. And the moment that you trust Him to be your Savior, Christ delivers you from the penalty of your sin. He delivers you from the eternal death and hell that you deserve. And in your handout are two great verses, Colossians 1:13 and 14, where it says that God has delivered us. There's that word. He has. It's already a done deal. He's delivered us from the power of darkness, and He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. In whom, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It's a done deal. It's already happened. Galatians 1:4 on the screen. Christ gave Himself for our sins that He might what? Deliver us from this present evil world. Look at the next passage. This is a key passage, and I'm going to end with this. Hebrews 2. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood. That's us. We got flesh and blood. I'm made of flesh and blood. You're made of flesh and blood. He, Christ, also Himself took part of the same. Christ was made manifest. God became flesh. Christ took our flesh and blood. Why would He do that? Because it was the only way that He could die. Only a flesh and blood person can die and give their life. So He took our flesh and blood that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them. There's that word. He's our deliverer. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You don't have to fear death today. You don't have to fear incurring God's wrath and God's judgment for eternity. Why? Jesus Christ was delivered on the cross for our offenses. He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself that He might deliver us from our sins and give us eternal life. Christ is our deliverer. He has forever delivered us. It's a done deal. Christ is my rock. Christ is my fortress. Christ is my deliverer. And in your handout, it says there, we are, I bet you know what the blank is. What is it? We are complete in Christ. Christ is the all-sufficient one. Next week, we'll continue here in Psalm 18:2, and we'll see the rest of what Christ has been made unto you.